You see, today I want to talk again about leadership. And I want you to understand that God did not call you out of darkness to lead a mediocre life. God, the God of the universe, did not reach out and touch you so that you just get along. God has called you to be a world changer. God has called you to be a leader of the light in the midst of darkness. God has called you above all things to be His follower first, and a leader and a light to the world second. You see, people, we have got to learn to follow God. If you cannot be a follower, you will never be a leader. It is absolutely necessary that you learn to become the best follower in order to become the best leader. Now, in this place that we have here, I teach people about taking instruction. Because if you don't know how to take instruction, you will never learn how to give instruction. And a leader brings instruction into people's lives. Does this not make sense? If you're the one that seems to be confused every time somebody tells you to do something, then you need to practice at listening so that you can learn to take instruction, so that you can learn to give instruction. Let me borrow your chair for a minute. Let me give you an example. Just sit over there by the piano for a minute. Now, I have learned, and I learned this as a person that deals with people. As a leader, you must learn to give instruction. You must learn to give instruction in a way that people understand. There are too many leaders out there that talk a lot and have big words and big concepts, but they are not communicating with people. You must develop communication skills. That's like in my place here that I run, which is called discipleship, which is where all people start. I don't care where you're from, you must be discipled in order to be anything of greatness in God's kingdom. You must learn to apply His word to your life. Because if you can't apply His word to your life, how are you going to do great things for Him? Amen. Think about it. The world is out there. But we that are His need to get it right in here. Amen? But instruction is a big thing. That's like I have learned not to just tell somebody, go put this chair by the door. Because they'll just come over like this. But you think I'm joking. But in fact, I did not give proper instruction. And if somebody is lackadaisical in attitude, that is exactly what they're going to do for me. See, you're laughing, but I'm serious. And you better take this instruction if you're going to be a leader, because if you're a leader, you need to clearly communicate every command. Now, what I would tell somebody to do is I would tell somebody, take this chair, put it over by the door, put it beside the door, but don't block the door. Do you see the difference in instruction? Right? In one case, it was not clear. In one case, they could have that side-to-side movement. I call it lateral movement, where they don't clearly understand, nor do they yet really care. So they will be lackadaisical in their efforts. But you as a leader must learn to take and give clear instruction. Hello? If you're going to be a child of the King and a leader in the kingdom, you must learn to bring studies of the Word of God in a way that is relatable and practical. Amen? And it all starts with the little things. Amen? If you never learn how to be a follower, You are never going to learn how to be a leader. If you never learn to take instruction, you are never going to understand how to give instruction. If you can't be a great follower, you will never be a great leader. Let me tell you something about a great leader. He is a great listener. What does that mean? Even if he's got 10 things going on, he hears everything around him. Amen? He is a person that learns to pay attention. I'm telling you that these are attributes of a great leader. Great leaders are always busy, but they assimilate information just walking down the road. If I walk around this campus behind all my people, I could take and walk around the campus with them and show them everything they missed. How many people can recognize that? You see, what happens is you have got to become aware of all your surroundings. You have got to know where you're at, even when you're giving instructions. Are you understanding me? And of all things, you must be relatable, and your communication skills must be intact, in place, in a way that you can bring instruction to those around you. How else can you lead with efficiency? You must not be a time waster, but a time organizer. The church in general today wastes much time with foo-foo stuff. What is foo-foo stuff? Well, please don't be offended. I'm going to give some explanations in my terminology. Foo-foo is like perfume. It smells nice, but you don't really need it. Did you get that? Well, doesn't it? It does smell nice, but do you really need it? You need deodorant and bath, right? But do you need perfume? It's nice, but you don't need it. And so is many functions in the church today. We must learn to take people and organize them and teach them how to be a witness for Christ, to teach them apologetics, to go out and be able to justify the gospel of Jesus Christ in order that they might win some. We must teach people to get beyond themselves so that they can witness to anybody that is there instead of just a specific group of people that they choose to witness to. Are you hearing me? Some of you went out with us last night, and you can see that we deal with extreme situations. I will put this on tape for the benefit of this girl that came to us from Oral Roberts University once. They were too good to even ride with us in the buses. Are you hearing me? And they would not hold hands with the people downtown to pray with them. They are way too spiritual for me, because obviously they could give a rip about saving souls. She saw a person stick a needle in their arm, which is normal for adult fiends. Hello? And don't fiends need Jesus? So, you want them to get rid of their addiction first so you can talk to them? Are you hearing me? I am tired of us wanting to get people cleaned up and then them come to Jesus, because they're never going to come to Jesus unless we go get them where they're at. We have got to learn to meet people wherever they're at. This girl saw a guy slam dope. Obviously, at Oral Roberts University, they don't talk about these things. And I pray they hear this tape and they chastise every one of them dinks that came out here. Because she fell out on the ground and passed out on the spot. All she did was take and give the evidence of a wimpy church instead of a sold out for Jesus church. Does it sound like I have a critical spirit? No, I deal with reality. I'm just telling the truth. Without foo-foo. Do you understand what I'm talking about today? That's like one thing a leader must do along with being a great follower is he must be Holy Spirit filled and he must know when to change his mind so Jesus can have his way. Today I got up and I decided that I was going to give this Bible study. And God talked to me while we were singing and said, no, you will not. You will give my Bible study. Sometimes serving God can be embarrassing for a leader. Because he has all these great plans. He's sure that this is just the way things should run. And God will speak and change everything that you had planned. See, I want to give you some practical points in leadership. A leader must be able to teach people by example how to be a witness to the lost about Jesus Christ. He must have a personal relationship with God in order that he might relate it to others. If you love a boyfriend or a girlfriend, which by the way, I got bad news for you. I never read in the Bible that you're supposed to love a boy or a girl, but your husband or your wife. The problem is we so often get the cart before the horse, we get hurt bad. Right? You need to wait for God to choose your mate. Not you. You're going to choose according to your flesh, and God is going to choose according to His infinite wisdom. Who do you think is smarter? Think about it. That's not my subject matter. But if you're going to be a leader and you choose the wrong mate, you just blew it. Hello? Hello? I just thought I'd make that point. But I'm telling you that you need to learn to be spirit influenced in your life. When you pray before you go out witnessing, the instruction must be that you need to listen to God. You need to pray in the Spirit so that He will break down the walls. How do you fight your warfare? Do you fight it with your fist? I mean, I can do that. But what do you think I'm going to win for Jesus in that mode? Do you fight it with your infinite wisdom? Which, of course, is finite, not infinite. Or do you fight your battles with Holy Spirit power? You see, a leader must know the difference between the Holy Spirit and the flesh. Amen? Today, I am here to tell you that we need to be, as leaders, a teacher of practical Christianity. We need to be teachers that have learned how to act out practical Christianity. Now, I am here to say right now that I love praise and worship music. I love it. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord lives within me. But if I go to a Latino neighborhood, I'm playing oldies, hip-hop, and rap. I'm not going to break out Amazing Grace and expect them to come. And those that are tongue talkers, they need to not speak in tongues unless they're amongst believers. And really, they're not supposed to do that unless there is interpretation that goes along with the tongue. That's the Bible. You know, there are so many things that are not taught correctly. That means the leaders have not been taught correctly. Amen. We, as leaders, must learn the truth, operate in the truth, and teach and preach the truth. I am telling you, one of the biggest failings in the church today is there are many good-meaning people that want to do something, but there are no leaders out there to show them how to do it. They want to go witnessing. They want to go to different places. They want to go have impact in Jesus, but the leadership is so busy having church inside the four walls that they got no time to get outside of them. A leader must have a heart to win souls. Above and beyond, only secondary to their relationship with God Almighty, a leader must desire in their heart to win souls. Amen? Do you have a desire to win souls? Or do you just want to sit in your room all the time in your bless me state? Are you hearing me? How many people have been to prophecy conferences? I have. How many people have been to different conferences on different things in the church? I have. But I'm going to tell you what, I quit that years ago. Do you know why? Because everybody there is saved already. Why do I want to go and have one more church session? I'm churched up to here. I want to get out and win the loss and get that fire going on in me. You must teach people how to witness to the lost. And the way you do that is by them knowing how important it is to you. Let me go a little further. You have been called to be a leader. What does the Great Commission say? Says, go ye to all the nations and make disciples of all people. So if you're going to be a leader, it isn't enough that you just take and witness to somebody and maybe get them to say the sinner's prayer. Now you have that additional responsibility to disciple those people in the truth. And in order to disciple, you must have been discipled. Have you taken the time to learn the truth of God? Have you taken the time to learn what God would have to say? Have you started to practice it in your very life? Have you learned the difference between foo-foo and practicality? Have you learned to devote your life to the things that are important or in the peripherals of a relationship with the church? You see, people, let me explain this to you. Most persons that get saved do not even read the Bible. Liars, shout me down. Do they? Let me just be a little more specific. How often do you read the Bible? And I'm not pointing fingers, because they all come back to me. You understand? But in order to be a leader, you must be a student of the Word of God. Amen? I said a student, not just a reader, but an in-depth, knowledgeable believer. Because in the Word is power. You can be the greatest prayer warrior. You can know how to pray, but without the Word, you're never going to pray correctly. The Word is going to give you specific instruction and direction on how to pray. You see, I liken the Word of God to the ammunition that goes in the gun you got the day you got saved. Now you better catch this. The fact is, as a leader, you need a weapon with bullets, not just a rock or a club. We're going to Timothy now. Timothy. Father God, help me today, God, to bring this word in a way that all will understand. I'm going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is the leader. Now, I've spoken to the fact that you need to be a great follower. Right? What does that mean? When you are in process of being trained, you need to learn to be a great follower. Not one that got to have their opinion. Amen? One that learns to take instruction and follow it out. Right? When God makes you a boss, then you can do it your way if you still want to. Amen? The biggest problem we have is we are not a house that is wholly in order. God is a God of order. God assigns some to be apostles, some to be preachers, some to be teachers. Amen? And on down the line to wherever you are in the getup. Now, in my house as a kid, there were 6 boys, and I was the 6th of 6 boys. And I assure you, my pecking order was the bottom. And so is all of ours as we start out in Christ. You aren't a born genius in Christ. You are a person that must learn the truth in Christ. And the way you learn is you must first be a follower. You must learn order in your life. You must learn to take instruction in your life. You must learn to diligently seek God in your life. And that doesn't happen overnight. You get it? If you cannot follow instruction that is given to you, then you probably are never going to be able to give proper instruction. You think about that for a minute. If every time somebody tells you what to do, you do whatever you want, how can you expect others to listen to what you have to say? It's common sense, people. In order for you to expect people to be obedient to you, you must be obedient to your authority. And when they see the fact that you are obedient to your authority, now they're watching you and they see the truth that you are submitted to your authority, so they will submit to you. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to follow somebody that does whatever they want. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to listen to nothing they have to say because they are unstable and I cannot predict their moves. They do whatever the wind blows them in. Are you hearing me? But I'm going to tell you, on top of that, you as a leader have got to be sensitive to His voice. People have got to see you praying. Amen? People have got to watch you walking out the Word. People have got to see you with self-control. That's a leader. And they must see you concentrating on the important things in God. I'm going to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I started here in the midst of it yesterday, but I'm going right in the middle of where I left off. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Or 10. 10, I'm sorry. It says, therefore, I endure all things. Get your pen out and circle that word. That eliminates every excuse in the book. Amen. Well, people don't treat me right. People don't listen to me. People don't do this. People don't. I'm going to tell you, people are scandalous. What did I say? They are. They're fickle. One day they love you, and the next day they hate you. But you're not supposed to let people influence you. You're supposed to influence people. What they do to you, what they say about you, has no bearing on what you're supposed to do. A leader cannot be a people pleaser. They must become a God pleaser. It says, therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. What's he saying? I don't care what I go through. I'm going to go through it not for me, but for those that might, because of me, find the truth. Amen? Not everybody's going to follow. Some people will run away. But you do what you're supposed to do always, anyway. It says, this is a faithful saying. This is Paul talking. Paul, to me, was the greatest apostle. I mean, to me, and I can have my opinion. Some say, well, it must have been John. Well, maybe it was to somebody else. But to me, Paul is the one that went through the most that I read about in the Bible and stood fast in every area up until the time when they parted his head from his shoulders. Are you hearing me? Now that's a man that believed and led his life as an example in and out of chains, in and out of bondage. And without Paul, the world as we know it today would not be in the place it is. He's the one that left Judea and went out into the world, out into the unknown, and stayed out there all alone or with a few people so that we might be saved here today that are Gentiles, which is everybody that is not of Jewish origin. So you better thank God that He had such grace inside of Paul. And you better think about it. Was that not a great leader? Was that not a great leader? And what if he just did whatever he wanted? And what if he turned and ran just because people talked bad about him? And what if the first time he went to jail or got beat, he would have quit? A leader is not a quitter. Does not have running shoes. Does not put themselves first. You getting it? These are characteristics that must be in leaders today. It says, this is a faithful saying. If we died with Him. All these ifs are something you should circle in your Bible because they are hinge words for you as a Christian, and especially for you as a leader who wants to lead. How could you say you want the world to be saved and not become a leader? How is it that you can say that you really want to see the lost go to heaven and not take up your stand where you're supposed to and fill your slot? It says, if we died with Him, did you die with Jesus? Did you nail yourself to that cross and get on the other side and rise up with resurrection power? If is the word. If we endure, what does that mean? You're going to have to endure. You as a leader are going to go through trials above and beyond what anybody else in the church can dream or imagine. You are going to be tested as if by fire. Why? So you can burn off your stinking flesh monster. That's why. What do I mean? I mean that all of us come as a me and I. But in order to be a leader, we must give our life sacrificially for Jesus. Amen? It says, if we endure, we shall reign with Him. Do you know, people are always walking up to me telling me things like, you can't judge me. Well, there's two answers that I must give. Number one is, of course, I'm not the judge and the jury and the executioner. That's God. But God tells me to be a fruit inspector. And if your fruit suck, I guess I judged you. You get it? Why? Because the Bible says those of us that are in God and Jesus will reign with Him. Amen? And we will judge angels. Are you hearing me? You know, I hear a lot about angelology. Let me tell you something. God built us to be above angels. Amen? Because we are in Christ. Is not Christ above angels? And if you are truly in Christ, then you can discern truth and you are to speak it. And don't listen to those backslidden Christians that are always telling you those kind of words. Somebody that's backslidden, that's the first thing out of their mouth. Don't judge me, brother. Well, hey, go to hell then. I don't care. If you don't care, I don't care. But you don't just sit there and let a person do it. You confront the issues in their life. Why? Because you're supposed to love them. And if you love somebody, are you going to sit idly by and watch them go to hell? Are you going to be intimidated by their noise and nonsense like all the rest? As a leader, you must make a stand. Do you understand? A leader makes hard decisions and does hard things daily. It says, if we deny Him, He will also deny us. A leader don't deny Jesus. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things I could do, but if Jesus isn't in the middle of it, I ain't doing it. And you can't make me. Why? Because I already dissipated my life. I'm going to live the rest of it for God, period. It says, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. And Paul says, remind them of these things. Who? You. You future leaders. You that someday are going to rock the world. You that someday will find inside yourself that thing you've been looking for that will help you to stand up against the hordes of darkness and make a difference in this world. Your life is not supposed to be ended with just a little stone in a graveyard saying, He lives and He died. It's supposed to be something that changed the world around you. It says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Let me tell you something. If you're a rattle jaw, did you get what I said? If you're a rattle jaw, people don't listen to you and you know it. Matter of fact, after a while you bug them so bad that they quit calling you, seeing you, or talking to you. Be a person that chooses your words, and when you speak, let it have impact. A leader can't be a rattle jaw. Nobody listens to him. And you know what? If nobody listens to you, you're not a leader. Amen? But it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Your whole life as a leader, you're to work on making yourself approved to God, not men. Amen? You're supposed to present your life in a way that God is pleased, not displeased. Right? It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's the last verse I'm going to read. You know what, people? If you are not a student of the Word of God, how are you going to rightly divide the truth? How are you, if you are a leader, going to be able to teach if you have not been taught? How are you, as a leader, going to be able to justify the faith that you have inside? I'm going to tell you right now that if you just go up to somebody and say, I believe, they're going to go, in what? What is going to come out of your mouth next? Do you know? Have you planned it? Do you have a justification of your faith in mind right now? Have you studied enough of the Word of God where you can lead a person through the Word of God and justify the truth of Jesus Christ? If somebody asks you, why can't I have sex before marriage? Do you know how to break down to them the truth about soul ties? Are you understanding me? If you are going to be a leader, there is question after question after question after question that will be asked of you. And are you going to be able to answer? And where are the only answers that matter? The Word of God. Do you know the Word of God? Do you know it well enough to answer a very intelligent heathen? You know, there are some people out there that do not even believe in God, but they know more Bible than 90% of the Christians that I know today. I am always amazed. Listen to me. I have been there where people sit there I've been right there and I've seen people smoking and non-Christians come up to them and go, "Oh, I didn't know Christians smoked." Huh. They go up, "Oh, I didn't know Christians drink. Oh, I didn't know Christians party." You see, it's pretty sad when the people that don't even know God know more about being a Christian than the people that profess that they are Christians. You know, today, people, I'm talking about being a leader. But you know what I want you to understand is before you can be a great leader, you got to be a great follower of Jesus. You've got to learn to take instruction. You've got to be taught. You've got to learn the things that are important. And don't get involved with the church foo-foo. Amen? I'm going to tell you today that when I first got saved, I did it all. I went to Christian yuppie parties. Right? I went to prophecy encounters. I went to this church and that church and every church listening about this philosophy or that philosophy or this doctrine or that doctrine. And you know what in the end I had to do? Toss most all of it out and go back to the Word of God and become a student of what He had to say. Because it says the doctrines of men make the Word of God to no effect. You know, I'm going to tell you today that I love the church, and I do because I am the church. You are the church. And I am not mad or angry, nor am I bitter or any of those things at the church. I don't mean to say that. I'm just telling you that most of the church doesn't understand the truth. But if you're going to be a leader, you must be the one that is a student of the truth and knows it, so that in fact you will be able to teach others the truth also. Do you hear what I'm saying today? You know what? It's not enough. I have my guys that have these commentary Bibles. I tell them, don't you dare use that commentary when you're doing your New Testament survey. Don't you dare! Stop it! Don't plagiarize. Get on your knees. Seek Holy Spirit truth. I'm going to tell you what. If you've been educated by copying the words of some other commentator, then you haven't been educated at all. Because you haven't learned the first thing about the Word of God, which says, if you have a need of wisdom, seek of God, and He will supply liberally. It doesn't say, read somebody's commentary on the Bible. Put that in your pipe and smoke it for a while. That is worldliness. That is standard college doctrine. You can go to college, take courses, hello. And if you need to write a book study on something, you can go to the bookstore and buy what you need to write and just change a few words and la-di-da. Do you understand? You have got to live by a new standard. It's called integrity in the Holy Spirit. You get it? And all the rest of that is a bunch of crap. And it is not of God. And it's not that great men haven't written great commentaries, because they have. But let me tell you this. Every word of God is true. But men lie even when they don't mean it. I have heard great men of God that have had to come back later on and repent for teachings that they gave earlier in their lives. They did it publicly. But how many people did they teach wrong at that time? People, You need to get your truth from the Word of God and learn it from the Word of God and apply it with Holy Spirit power and teach others. Because the Word of God never lies. I'm going to end on this. Now, there are people out there that are great orators, that are devil worshipers, that are totally possessed, that are preachers and teachers in the church today. I'm going to just break this down to you. Now, you better listen to me, and you better put your ears up there, and you better pay attention. If that was not true, Jimmy Jones would have not have fed poison Kool-Aid to 900 people. 900 people died because they followed a man instead of God. David Koresh, not too long ago in Texas, had people that followed him to his death. You know, that turkey was in there. Somehow he convinced other people to give him their wives so he could make babies because he was head stud, I guess. Now, you can laugh if you want. But those people, I believe, really thought they were doing right. But it says the blind follow the blind into the pit. You know what? As a leader, you cannot operate in ignorance. You must operate in the truth. And you must teach the truth. Because you are accountable for everything that you teach. You know how many teachers I have in this place right now? Here I am. You understand? Why? Because I am a seasoned veteran that's been through the fire, and I know when I speak, I understand the fact that I must tell the truth because I'm accountable for it. Amen? A novice does not have those feelings. They just want to speak. You get it? People, in all you're getting, get knowledge of the Word of God so that you, in the appointed time, are ready too. Each and every one of you can be a great leader. Each and every one of you. But the question is, will you pay the price? And the price is simple. Everything. But you know what? The Bible tells you that in order to follow Him, you're supposed to give up everything. Did you get that? So, let me just end like this. You can be a great leader. As a matter of fact, you're supposed to become a great leader. As a matter of fact, it's in your destiny to be a great leader. But you know what? Unlike the world, you can't cut corners and become a great leader. You must do the things that it takes in order to get there. You know, I love you guys, and I pray that each and every one of you takes this word home to your heart and recognizes that God didn't hang on a cross in order for you to just barely get along in life and go up every month or so like this to a wall that's concrete and bump your head. Amen? Is that hard? Yeah, but my head's harder. I learned all about bumping my head before I met Jesus. I'm sick of bumping my head. A leader is sick of bumping his head and does right because it is right. And you know what? He knows what's right because he studies the truth that is always right. Become a student of the Word of God. Put aside the foo-foo. Embrace the reality of God and truth in your life. Be a soul winner. Be a person that lives above reproach. Put aside the things of the world and the worldliness and embrace Jesus with your very life. And if you will do these things and not cheat, you will rock the world. Amen. Father, I love you, God. And God, let it be today that each person in this place grabs a hold of this truth. That we are all destined to be great leaders. But God, let it be today that you put in us a desire to want to be these things, God. Help us, Lord. Strengthen us. Show us your path for us this day. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said,
amen.